Open your Bibles up to Proverbs chapter 10, Proverbs chapter 10, and as I said, the ushers will give you a handout. I like to do that on Wednesday evenings just to keep you all awake, amen? But the series we've been going through is Wisdom from Above, and as you know, as we journey through this life, even as a believer, we have a choice to make. Which direction or leadership, whose leadership are we going to follow? Are we going to follow the wisdom of God? Or are we going to follow the wisdom of this world? And we know that the wisdom of this world is the so-called wisdom of this world. This world has no wisdom, but it calls itself wisdom. It pats itself on the back about its wisdom. It's like to say how much they know everything. But the truth of the matter is, wisdom is from God alone. The Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. But still, as believers, we are inundated with the ideas of this world. And so we have to consciously choose to follow the wisdom from James chapter 3, the wisdom from above, which is first pure and peaceable. So Proverbs chapter 10, just one verse tonight. Chapter 10 and verse 1. Let's read it together. Ready? Begin. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love to us. And Lord, I pray as I preach the message that I believe you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd help me this evening. Please fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Give us all understanding of your word tonight. And please remove any distractions from our minds and from this room this evening. Lord, I do pray again, if somebody is here tonight that's lost, that tonight they'd get their salvation settled and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. But for those of us that know you, Lord, I pray you'd challenge us here with your word, whether we be speaking to a mother or a father or a child tonight or anyone for that matter. Give us understanding this evening. Help me, help us all, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Well, beginning here in Proverbs chapter 10, there is a noticeable shift in the format of this book. And this shift is marked by the phrase, notice verse 1 of chapter 10, and it's a phrase we saw in chapter 1 in verse 1, and that is the Proverbs of Solomon. Now let me explain what I mean by a shift. The first 9 chapters of Proverbs are considered by many commentators to be introductory in nature. And up to this point, the focus of this book, generally speaking, has been on addressing the benefits of wisdom versus the bitter consequences of sin. Here's what you do, here's what you don't do, here's what happens when you do it, here's what happens when you don't do it.
Amen.
And many of the truths that have been dealt with in these first 9 chapters, for the most part, were dealt with in passage form or multi-verse form. For example, when we were reading about the strange woman back there in chapter 7, that subject is dealt with in an entire chapter. The whole chapter 7 deals with the strange woman. When dealing with wisdom personified, that subject is dealt with in a chapter and a half. We find it in chapter 8, and we find it in part of chapter 9 as well. But from chapters 10 all the way to chapter 30, we find hundreds of individual proverbs that deal with a wide variety of themes and subjects. For example, we'll see proverbs on subjects like, not limited to, child rearing. We'll read proverbs or verses on subjects like hard work. We'll read about pride. He'll deal with finances. He'll deal with anger. God will deal with laziness. He's going to deal with the tongue. He's going to deal with alcoholic beverage, wine, if you will, and many, many more subjects.
Amen.
And remember, God used King Solomon. We've been preaching about him on Sunday evenings. And Agur, in Proverbs chapter 30, to pen God's wisdom on all of these important subjects. But he primarily used King Solomon as his human penman. Let me show you. Hold your hand here. Go back to, just as a reminder, go back to 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4.
Amen.
Now, we've dealt with this on Sunday evening a while back when dealing with King Solomon. But notice verse 29 of 1 Kings 4. And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding, exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. What words about a man, huh?
Amen.
And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan and the Ezrahite and Heman the Chalcol and Darda the sons of Mahol, and his fame was in all nations round about. Look at verse 32. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. So again, when we get to the book of Proverbs and we see these statements that he makes, many of them, most of them from this book are by the hand of King Solomon. And the way, by the way, that you go back to Proverbs chapter 10 here, the way that most of these subjects are dealt with in those chapters, chapter 10 to chapter 30, are with primarily one or two verse statements. Just a statement here and a statement there. Often unconnected sentences, each of which contain profound thought. I mean, a well of wisdom. You could read one verse in Proverbs and, boy, really muse on that a good while for the depth of the wisdom that is in that passage, that verse. It gives us divine truth. And so instead of dealing with one or two verses at a time, because we're working our way through Proverbs, imagine if I did that, 659 verses, that's what's left. We'd be here somewhere between 6 and 12 years if we did it on Wednesdays only. We're not going to do that, all right? God's people said, oh, that's a shame. No, anyway, I thought we'd simply deal with, from this point on, just the topics as they come up in the book. And then we'll link some verses in Proverbs together to get that wisdom from above that all of us need.
Amen.
And so tonight I'd like to deal with the very first topic in this new section of the book of Proverbs found in chapter 10 and verse 1. As we read it again, I'll read it again. The Proverbs of Solomon. Notice, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So tonight I'd like to preach on this subject, the title's at the top of your sheet there, The Wisdom of Being a Wise Son.
Amen.
The Wisdom of Being a Wise Son. Most of us are familiar with the evangelist Billy Sunday. Sunday held, we know, if you read anything about him, citywide evangelistic meetings, of course, in the early 1900s, very dramatic in his preaching. Of course, a professional baseball player got saved, left baseball to go into the ministry, and he often preached about the destruction of alcohol. Now, it is said that he held over 300 protracted meetings where 80 million people heard the gospel. And some, it's estimated from what I read, I didn't write this down, but some 1 million people made professions of faith.
Amen.
That's a lot of people.
Praise the Lord.
But you know, the tragedy, in my opinion, of his legacy is this. Billy Sunday was married to Helen Thompson, and they had 4 children. Three of them were sons, and one of them was a girl. The girl's name was Helen. The sons' names were George and Billy Jr. and Paul. One author wrote about their sons. He wrote, quote, the three sons embarrassed their parents with their errant lifestyles. George was arrested for drunkenness and auto theft before committing suicide in 1932. Billy Jr. lived a wicked life and died in an automobile accident in 1938. And Paul, a test pilot, died in an airplane crash in 1944. Now think about that. Here is this great evangelist, Billy Sunday, that perhaps almost everyone in America knows about that's a Christian. And he lived for God, had all those meetings, yet we read about his sons, and look how they turned out. It's so sad. You see, those boys chose to live the life, as we see in our verse tonight, of a foolish son instead of a wise son.
Right.
So tonight, in a topical message, I'm going to preach about that idea, that thought, the wisdom of being a wise son. Let's consider, first of all, number one, would you write this down? The correct goal of a Christian parent. Notice we read again, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. So Solomon begins here in this new section of the book of Proverbs dealing with the home. The home. Notice we see three characters in this verse. We see first mentioned a father, a son. And then we read about a father, and then about another son, and then a mother. So we see a father, a mother, and a son, we'll just say generically. By the way, this is God's intended structure for the world in which He created with regards to the home. It is God's structure, and you have to say this again and again today. God's structure is for a biological man to marry a biological woman till death do they part and have biological children and raise those children together under their parental guidance. That's what it is. That's what God's will is. When grown, those children are to, if it be God's will, leave their father and mother, leave that family structure, and cleave unto their spouse, again, if it be God's will, become one flesh, and establish their own home, where they, in turn, repeat the process. They have children, they raise them together, and the cycle continues. Understand, this is God's design for a strong, healthy society. But there's one major thing that I didn't mention in that formula. It is the God-given responsibility of the parents not to just raise children, not even just to raise good children, but instead it's a God-given responsibility of parents to raise godly children.
Amen.
Don't miss it. Not just, I raise my children. That's not all God wants you to do. Right. Well, I raise good children. There's more to it than that. The goal is godly children. Children that know God. Children that love God. Children that serve God. In other words, to raise, in Proverbs terms, wise sons.
Amen.
This is the biblical goal. That's the primary thing for the parent with the children.
Amen.
Now hold your hand here and go to a familiar passage in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We know this passage well, I'm sure. But certainly worth reading here in the context of what we're speaking of tonight. I can't think of a better passage to go to.
Amen.
Notice Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. And we'll revisit this a little bit later. We read, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house. And when thou walkest by the way. And when thou liest down. And when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." Notice these are instructions to parents.
Amen.
This is what parents are to do. Again, teach the children the things of God that they might raise godly children. Proverbs 22:6 puts it this way, "Train up a child in the way he should go." That's for the parent. Train up a child in the way, God's way, Jesus, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," right? Train up a child in the way he should go. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4 tells us to bring them up, children, in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So again, I say, it is a God-given responsibility for parents to raise godly children. Now go over to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 2 and verse 15. A verse I like to refer to often in the context of the home because it really sets forth this goal right before us very obviously. Malachi chapter 2 and notice verse 15. Notice we read Malachi 2:15, "And did not he," speaking of God, "make one," talking about marriage. He was just dealing with the subject of marriage and how they were sinning against the family there at this time in Israel. And notice he says, "And did he not make one?" Did not he make one? "Yet had he the residue of the Spirit. And wherefore one?" Why did God make one? One flesh, this man and woman leave and cleave and being one flesh. Here it is. "That he might seek a godly seed."
Amen.
A godly seed.
Right.
One of the reasons, and there are more, I understand, but one of the reasons that God ordained the institution of marriage was so that the parents would raise godly children.
Amen.
That's what it is.
Right.
But you know, so few Christian parents today have that biblical goal.
Lord help.
Most parents are more interested in their children being smart or talented or becoming rich or famous or successful in the world's eyes than they are in them being godly. They need to be godly. That's the goal. Amen? You see, many have the idea, and I hear it again and again with parents over the years. We've heard it. They have the idea, well, if my child graduates high school and graduates college and gets a good job and finds a good spouse and gets married and makes a lot of money and, you know, stays out of trouble and is a good person, many parents say, well, I've succeeded as a parent. You haven't. If they're not godly.
Amen.
Now again, those things are not necessarily wrong or bad that I just mentioned a few moments ago. But if a child grows up and is not faithful to a Bible-believing church, if he does not serve the Lord with his life, if he's not committed to God, if he doesn't have Bible standards in his life, then we ought to be like this grieving mother back here in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1, the heaviness of his mother. That's how we ought to feel.
Amen.
Because we missed the goal.
Amen.
And her son refused God's wisdom.
Amen.
Newsflash tonight. God's not impressed by a person's position in life.
Praise the Lord.
God's not impressed by their bank account.
Amen.
God's not impressed by the size of their 401k or the size of their home or the title over the their office door at work, whatever's on that plaque. He's not even impressed by the compliments that the world gives to that person of how good he is. You see, if a child grows up to become an adult and does not live for God, regardless of what he does for a living, then may I say it this way, Operation Child Rearing has failed.
Right. Amen.
It's failed.
Right.
Somewhere along the line.
Amen.
You see, this whole process of this battle that's going on here in Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 1 begins with the parents having the right goal.
Amen.
I ask you tonight, parent, you have the right goal? Are you aiming at the right thing? Or are you going to be satisfied, well, they stayed out of trouble and they... You know, they stayed off drugs and stayed out of prison, so I guess I succeeded. No, 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 no. The goal is raising godly children.
Amen.
You know, Bob Jones Sr. used to say about Bob Jones University, he said, quote, we're not training young people how to make a living. We're training training them how to live.
Amen.
And that's a good goal right there. So I ask you tonight, do you have the right goal? So number one, the correct goal of Christian parents. Notice number two, if you would, the contrast of two types of sons. Obviously, these parents had the right goal because the fool, they were heavy when the son is foolish, and they're happy when a son is wise. But notice, even if parents have the right goal, there is another major factor involved in raising children for God. Major factor, and that is this, the will of the child. The will of the child. Now, more about this later. You see, when parents are trying to raise your children for God, they'll find that a child, generally speaking, is going to fall into one of these two categories. So you can generally say to this child, when you look at a child or look at your children that you're raising, that, okay, this one, he's a wise son, and this one's a fool. So they're either going to be, again, generally speaking, a wise son or a fool. Now, there's always moments of each of these in every child. We had them as well. But again, generally speaking, they're going to be one of the two. You're going to see this guy, he wants to live for the Lord. He wants to follow and do what's right. This one, man, I'm having problems with. Well, let's talk about the two. Let's look at each one of these. First of all, letter A, let's talk about the wise son.
Amen.
Again, a wise son maketh a glad father.
Amen.
So what does it mean to be a wise son? We used to use that as a criticism. We say, he's a wise guy, you know. That's what I was talking about here. What does it mean? Five times in the book of Proverbs, that exact phrase, a wise son, is used. Chapter 10 and verse 1 right here. We see it again down in verse 5 of this same chapter. If you'd look over, you don't have to. In chapter 13 and verse 1, you'd find it. 15 and verse 20, you'd find it there. And chapter 28 and verse 7. All of those in Proverbs talk about a wise son. And we learn some things about what a wise son is from the verses in Proverbs. Let me give you two of them. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 1. Matter of fact, let's just turn there. It's one page. Let's just turn over to it. Notice we read, a wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. Proverbs 28:7, you don't have to go there. I'll just read it for time's sake. The Bible says, and whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. But he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. So again, a wise son hears his father's instruction. The assumption here, of course, he's giving him godly instruction. And then whoso keepeth the law of God, implied, is a wise son. So a wise son is a son who follows the godly instruction of his parents.
Amen.
He listens to his godly parents.
Amen.
He doesn't think he knows everything.
Right.
He doesn't think he has a better way. Because he's wise.
Amen.
He gets it. He understands that his parents know better than he does.
Amen.
He understands that they know more about life than he does. He understands that they've been down the road. They've had more life experience. And they have more Bible knowledge than he does. So again, a wise son will trust God and trust his parents.
Amen.
Even when he doesn't fully understand things.
Right.
That's wisdom.
Amen.
That's a wise son. What about the other guy? Then there's a foolish son. Again, we read, a wise son maketh his... glad maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Well, that's just the opposite wise. You see, the phrase foolish son is found three times in the Bible, all of them in Proverbs as well. Proverbs 10 and verse 1, of course, just read it tonight. Chapter 17 and verse 25 and chapter 19 and verse 13. And again, I say, it's the exact opposite of a wise son. He doesn't listen to God's wisdom. He doesn't listen to his godly parents. Matter of fact, he refuses it. He has the idea that he knows better than his parents. Matter of fact, he has the idea, although he may not say this verbally, that he knows more than God. Because he thinks his way is better. You see, the foolish son doesn't, he lives as if there's no God in heaven. He says, according to Psalm chapter 14 in verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God.
Amen.
Not necessarily saying it with his mouth,
right,
but his lifestyle portrays that. It proclaims that.
Right.
He says it in his heart, there is no God. So a foolish son does what he wants to do. A foolish son doesn't want anyone telling him what to do. He acts like there's no consequences to his actions. And I can live this way and it'll be just fine with me. Oh, although there's been numerous people, a myriad of people before me that have done the same thing and fallen off the road. Eh, that won't happen to me. It's going to be different for me.
Right.
That's a foolish son.
Amen.
Matter of fact, he acts like there's no consequences to his actions and he despises those that try to tell him there are.
Amen.
They don't like that. You see, many will work these types of sons, these foolish sons, they'll work real hard to try and cover what's really in his heart.
Right.
He'll say hello and yes, sir, to your face, and then live for the devil when he turns around. That, my friend, is a rebel.
Right.
And again, it's just a matter of time before what he is known to all. And it's all a result of rejecting God's wisdom.
Amen.
So I wonder tonight, young person that's in the auditorium, I know we have King's kids downstairs, would you consider yourself a wise son or a foolish son? Are you one that says, you know, I'm going to trust God and trust my parents, I'm going to obey them and do what they tell me to do, even though I may not understand it all, they know better? Or are you on the other side that says, I don't need that? I got my own way. I can't wait to get out of this place. Can't wait till I'm 18. I'm gone. How many times we've heard that song? It hasn't worked well for anyone, by the way.
Right.
But which one are you? A wise son or a foolish son? So we see the contrast of two sons. Number three, and quickly, now notice the components for producing a wise son. So let's talk about that. So the goal of the Christian parent should be, I want a godly child. I want my child to grow up to love God. And I believe every person in this auditorium would say that.
Amen.
I want my children, my grandchildren,
Amen.
To live for God and do what's right. To,
praise the Lord.
And so there are some components to that. You see, godly parents want their children to have a more blessed life than they had.
Amen.
They want their children and grandchildren to not make the same mistakes that they made. They want their children and grandchildren to not have to experience the same unnecessary heartaches and sometimes bring forth lifelong consequences. I'm trying to save you from a lot of heartaches, what I'm trying to say. That are a result of foolish decisions. But there's two components in the formula, and I alluded to this a little bit ago, for raising or producing a wise son. Notice there are, first of all, letter A on the back, the deeds of the parents. There's two sides to this thing. You see, this is arguably the most important of the two. The parent must do their part.
Right.
We must.
Amen.
Again, I say, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. There's an admonition there to train. Teach them diligently in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll get there here in a moment. But understand, doing our part as parents also has two parts, if you don't mind me saying it this way. Number one, in your own life, you have to live for the Lord.
Amen.
It's interesting that passage in Deuteronomy 6 starts off not with the child, but with the parent.
Amen.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Verse 5, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Notice where it begins. It begins with a parent. In your own life. In other words, you yourself as a parent must be the example. You must pave the way. You must live it yourself. You must love God. You must serve God. You must be committed to God.
Amen.
You must read your Bible every day. You must pray every day. You must be faithful to the church services every time
Amen.
The doors are open. You must be a witness. You must live the Christian life. That's a part of this raising a
Praise
wise
Lord.
Son.
Amen.
And perhaps the most important part. Because if it's not real to you, it's not going to be real to them.
Amen.
So we see it again, the deeds of the parents in your own life, but then also in the life of the child. Then you also do what you have to do with them. Bring them to church.
Amen.
Well, my son didn't come tonight. He didn't feel like coming. What?
No.
Yeah, he didn't feel like he was tired. We didn't go for that in our house.
Amen.
No, we didn't. No. You're coming to church. We're all going
Praise
to church.
Lord.
You make sure you bring them to church. By the way, teach them the Word of God. Don't just let the Christian school or church services do it, or the Sunday school teacher do it. It needs to go beyond that. You as a parent, that's a responsibility. Live it yourself. Then teach it to them. Have devotions every night. Family devotions. You don't hear a lot about the family altar anymore. Maybe Mr. Television or Internet or social media, whatever, has just robbed all the families of
Amen.
That, or many of the families of that.
Amen.
God help us to get back to family altar. Right. Pray together as a family.
Amen.
Again, these are all the things a parent must do if you want to raise that wise son.
Amen.
There's the deeds of the parents.
But
I said two components. Here's the other one. Letter B is the decisions of the son. As I said earlier, the child has a will. You know, years ago, I remember often when our kids were real little, I'd see someone with a teenage child or a teenager and just go off the deep end. And there was a little something inside me that said, I wonder what the parents did wrong there. Do you know that that's not necessarily always the case? Now, I understand nobody's perfect. We can all go back as parents and say, I would have done this different. I would have done this a little bit different. But there's some parents that I know that have followed these things. They've lived the Christian life. They've served the Lord with their family. They've had devotion and did everything that they felt was right and so forth, humanly speaking. But you know, no matter how strong the influence of a parent is, the child sooner or later must choose himself whether or not he's going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
It's the will of the child. The will of the child. Ezekiel 18:20 says this, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son.
Amen.
The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." Summation of mine, you're going to get whatever you lived.
Amen.
The results of that. Proverbs 20 and verse 11 says, "Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right." So again, you can't blame your parents for your lack of spirituality necessarily. You can't blame your parents for your abundance of spirituality.
Amen.
You have to choose who you're going to serve.
Amen.
You'll serve the Lord or not.
Do
you know, while no parent is perfect, it is possible for a rebel to come out of a godly home. And vice versa.
Amen.
You say, give me some Bible on that. I'm glad you said that.
Right.
How about King Hezekiah?
Right.
Oh, I know what he did. Well, hold on a minute. Listen to what the Bible says about him. 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 2. "And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. For he clave to the Lord and departed not from following him, but kept his commandments."
Amen.
Who was his son? Manasseh. What does the Bible say about him? 2 Kings 21, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel." How did that happen? Here, Hezekiah restored all the places that should have been restored, took out all the abominations out of the temple. Did everything right. Yet his son was wicked. You know why? Manasseh chose to be wicked.
Right.
Manasseh chose to be a foolish son.
Right.
You see, while there's two sides to this coin of raising a wise son, there's the deeds of the parent, but then there's also, again, the decisions of the son. Both of them have to work together.
Amen.
In order to produce a wise son. So we see, number one, the correct goal of the Christian parents. Number two, the contrast of two sons. Number three, the components of producing a wise son. And then lastly, number four, the consequences of the two sons.
Amen.
Notice again the verse we read several times tonight. A wise son maketh a glad father.
Amen.
But a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Notice what each of these sons produce. First of all, letter A. A wise son produces gladness.
Amen.
You see, when a parent raises a child for God and that child chooses to live for God and goes on to raise his family for God as well, I'll tell you what, there's no greater joy than that. There's nothing more wonderful than raising your child that he goes off and he chooses to be a wise son and he lives for God and he marries and raises children for God as well.
Amen.
There's no greater joy, gladness, or satisfaction. You know, you could be the most successful man in the world financially, but if your kids are a wreck and turn out wrong, your heart is heavy. There's no greater hurt than hurt in a person's home.
Right.
No greater hurt. 3 John 4 says this, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And as a parent and grandparent, I can say amen to that.
Praise the Lord.
I don't call them up and say, "How much money are you making now? Did you get a raise? What title did you get this time?"
Right.
Although that might be a secondary subject, the number one thought is this, are you going to church?
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Are you serving the Lord?
Absolutely.
Did the kids get saved yet?
Glory to God.
Are they talking about the Lord?
That's
So a wise son produces gladness. But letter B, write this down. A foolish son produces heaviness. See, when parents try to raise their children for God and one or more of those children grow up and reject the things of God and turn their back on the things of God, wanting nothing to do with God and choose to forsake Him, it is a great heaviness in the heart of a parent.
Right.
Especially the mother. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of a mother. But then letter C, notice this, both sons, again the consequences, receive promises. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, see, a wise son produces gladness, a foolish son produces heaviness, but both sons are going to receive promises.
Amen.
You say, what do you mean by that? You see, if a son chooses to grow up and be a wise son, or chooses to be a foolish son, both of them are going to receive the promise of God, and that is this, the promise of sowing and reaping.
Amen.
Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Notice God is saying that all of us are sowing the seeds of life.
Amen.
Choices that we make,
right,
either wise choices or foolish choices.
Amen.
And when you plant a seed, it does not always automatically pop its head out of the ground. It takes time. The seed God's talking about here will always come out.
Amen.
If you sow to the Spirit, you'll receive God's blessings. If you sow to the flesh, God help you.
Lord have mercy.
If you're a wise son tonight, if you have determined in your heart, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to do what's right, I'm going to obey Him and His Word and obey my parents,
amen,
God's going to bless your life.
Praise the Lord.
But if you choose to be a foolish son, God help you.
Amen.
God help you. Let me add this footnote, especially if you know better.
Amen. That's right.
Let me show you a verse and we're done right here. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter 2 and we're done. Notice verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ,
amen,
they are entangled again, they are again entangled therein and overcome, notice the latter end is worse with them than the beginning.
Amen.
For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them.
Lord have mercy.
Does that bring fear into you?
Amen.
It should.
Amen.
God is saying here, if you know what God's Word says, if you have been had the privilege of being brought up in a Christian home, if you have been taught in Sunday school and Sunday services and Wednesday night services, and you've heard all this truth, and you choose to be a foolish son, going to be a lot worse for you than you can imagine.
Lord have mercy.
Again, he says that the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. The wisdom of being a wise son. You know, when I read that and I think of the things we thought of tonight, if I were a young person here, I'd say, hey, it's a no-brainer, preacher.
Amen. Amen.
God's Word says it. It's a no-brainer. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to listen to my parents. I'm going to do what's right.
Right.
I'm not going to choose to be a fool. Maybe you're here tonight and you're a young person. You're kind of teeter-tottering on the fence about, I'm not sure if I'm going to do what my parents want me to do and what the Word of God says. Why don't you make up your mind tonight to live for God?
Hallelujah.
You'll be glad you did.
Amen.
Maybe you're here tonight and you're a parent and you'd say, you know what, I haven't been doing my part. Why don't you say tonight, I'm going to start doing my part.
Amen.
And then maybe you're a young person and you need to make a choice tonight. Make the choice.
Amen.
Make it tonight. So you don't destroy your life.
Praise the Lord.
Let's pray.